Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from the Epistle of James, the first chapter. My dear friends in Christ, blessed, the Lord says through James, is the one who remains steadfast under trial. Blessed, not happy. Blessed, not pleased. Blessed, not satisfied. Blessed. I mean, do you really think that Abraham was happy when God told him to offer his son, his only son, the son of the promise of God in sacrifice? Of course not. But Abraham was blessed by God through the hope that he had in that very promise. Abraham knew that Isaac would be the son through whom God would give Abraham grandchildren and great-grandchildren and make his descendants as numerous as the stars. So therefore, if Isaac were to die, Abraham knew that God would raise him up so that he would yet be the son of promise. And Abraham was blessed because he had faith. Blessed are you then when you remain steadfast under trial. Probably won't be happy. It probably won't be easy. But through your faith, because our Lord has blessed you with faith, going through the trials of life is no burden, for you know that the crown of life waits for you at the other end. That's God's promise to you through Christ. No matter what you endure, beatings, mocking, hunger, thirst, hardship, starvation, sickness, disease, even torture and death, the crown of life awaits you. For here you share in the sufferings of Jesus. And just as he received the crown of life, as he was raised from the dead, because you share in what he has gone through, by faith, so too will you receive his reward. Now, when we endure the trials of this life, and apparently it is even as mommy can't pick me up at this time, it's hard to keep in mind the end result. The pain, the agony, the defeat that we feel, it's so great that we often feel like there's no end in sight. And this, quite honestly, is why people report most often why they attempted to commit suicide. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any other way to end their pain and their sorrow, and so they try and sadly sometimes succeed in killing themselves. They're overcome. And I think you can begin to understand that feeling, right? It's not that these people actually really have a death wish, but often it's just that they want the pain to stop. Pain in life is difficult, and we can be overcome by it just as easily as being overcome by any sin. You want an example of that? Go back to this last Wednesday, when an 18-year-old young man, overcome with whatever it is that he's facing in his life, and it might be because he's 18, it might be because he's identified with this alt-right racism, it might be because, who knows, some girl turned him down. He turned his pain into something that would give pain to others. And he began the worst shooting, school shooting, in our nation's history. Pain can overcome us, and it leads to sin. When we're in that place, when it hurts so bad, it's easy to forget that we are beloved and blessed by God. We're overcome. And I think that begins to make sense then. It's not true that God hates us. It's not true that God's left us, but it makes sense. I think it's easy to think too, on the opposite end of this, that we're condemned or judged by God, right? Or it's possible to think that God wouldn't put you through it and that he and Satan are locked into some kind of battle and Satan seems to be winning. And that cannot be true either. God absolutely might be putting you through a trial. And there's never a battle between God and Satan where the outcome is not decidedly in God's favor. Satan cannot win against our Lord in any way, shape, or form because he isn't God. He is nowhere near that power. It's really impressive when you think about it, the ways that we're tempted to turn away from God and his word. And I think it's impressive, too, the ways that we're tempted to seek our own understanding in trials and temptations. And instead, and this takes a lifetime of effort, we have to learn to trust God's word and see what he says about us and what we are going through. So if God says that when we're going through trial, when we remain steadfast, if he says that we're blessed, then we have to trust that we are. And when God says that he tempts no one, we must trust that. When God in Christ says that he'll neither leave us nor forsake us, we must trust that. When he says that we are his beloved bride, the church, we must trust that. It's hard, but we must learn to trust him. And to do that, we must remain steadfast. Now, how is that done? It's not done necessarily by your own effort, I'll tell you that, but by the steadfastness of faith, even the growth of faith, the dependence on your God. It's all given to you through the same way that he does all things, through his word and through his sacraments. You want to remain steadfast? You want to receive the crown of life? You can. It's not hard. Go to the place that you know that you can always find his word and always find his sacraments. God gives you the power, the strength, the ability to remain steadfast. That's his gift to you so that you would go into life everlasting. This is never something we earn. This is all God's gift. Now, if we should fall away, though, if we should forget this, even if we are going through our difficult times, this is not God's fault. It's our own. You know this, right? I think in some sense we've all been there to one extent or another. Some of us may have walked away from the church and come back. Some of us may be like David, where we commit such a horrible sin that we're lost in that sin until we're called to repentance and the forgiveness of it. I think we've all been here, right? See, we can't blame God for this, though. It's our choices. It's our own sin. We got to own it. It might be that we choose not to come to church. You know how that goes, right? Instead, we might go to places where our ears will be scratched. That means we hear what we want to hear, but not where our consciences will be pricked. Sometimes we choose to worship at St. Mattress with Pastor Pillow preaching. He's quite good. Sometimes when trial and temptation come, we give in. And when that happens, when we've been absent from God's word, from his church, we have no strength to endure. You see, God tempts no one, right? Because, see, tempting to sin is sin itself. God cannot sin, therefore he will never tempt you to sin. He may test your faith as he did Abraham. He might even run you through the ringer. But it's out of his love for you that he does this. Luther wrote somewhere, he said, God does not test in order that we might fear and hate him like a tyrant, but to the end that he might exercise and stir up faith and love in us. God's testing is always to bring about ourselves in being closer to him. And by faith, this actually always happens. If you have faith, by testing, you always grow closer to God. But we may also make bad decisions, bad choices that lead us away from God. And that's the power of sin and the influence of the devil. Luther goes on to write, Satan, however, tempts for evil. in order to draw you away from God and to make you distrust and blaspheme God. God tests you for love, and Satan tempts you for death. God tests you that you might receive life. Satan tempts you that you might go to hell. And because of our sin, we give in to sin easily, don't we? Our sinful flesh wars against the faith that God gave to us. And so when we're tempted and it comes from within, it comes from Satan using our desires to take us to the dominion of sin, death, and darkness, it comes that we might fall. Yet this is not God's desire for us. I will tell you, I think that giving in to sin does feel very good. It relieves the burden of our suffering, and it feels like the right thing to do. You almost can imagine that poor gunman on Wednesday finally going in and executing his plan by executing and murdering students and teachers. You can almost think that he felt a sense of relief as he did this. Finally, it's over. Or getting the abortion. When having a baby at this time feels inconvenient, that feels like the right thing to do. Getting the sex change operation because you feel trapped in a man's body, that feels like the right thing to do. Shooting up with heroin to make your horrible week seem a little bit better, that feels like the right thing to do. Taking your life. When everything is going wrong, that feels like the right thing to do. Well, we know that it's not. Our feelings lie. To do these things are all sins. They're to give in to the temptation that Satan is presenting us with. When God tests us, it's to bring us closer to Him. But when we turn from Him, when we give in into the temptation that we face, we come not closer to God, but steps closer to hell. You see, the thing is, God is not doing anything that is going to bring you lower, but everything which is going to bring you higher and closer to His kingdom. Every good gift comes from Him, and every good gift is what He gives to each and every person. He doesn't take us lower because He already took His Son to the depths of despair for your sake. God needs to take you nowhere but to Himself, because that's where His Son resides. And God doesn't want to take you anywhere but there. But it is our choice if we go to hell. It is God's choice if we go to heaven, and He has said yes. But it is our choice to go to hell. It is by human will and reason we strive for hell, but it is God's desire that we are given heaven. You see, this is His will, that all who believe in Him would never die but receive eternal life. And we will. You have been promised this life, and you have received it even now. So blessed are you as you endure the trials of life. Blessed are you that you are made His own, that you in your baptism have been made a new creation, a first fruits of the creation which is to come when Christ returns. You are the example to the entire world of what God will do when He comes to judge the living and the dead. You are the image, even now. Though what you will be is not yet even fully realized. This gives us great hope. Because even as we are saved and even as we are sinners, we recognize there is no sin. Not abortion, not murder, not drug abuse, not physical abuse. No sin that will separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Every sin we commit, while it should be avoided, certainly, every sin we commit is forgiven in Christ. That's why God tests us. That's why He tests us through this life, that we might yet be found faithful. Faithful does not mean perfect. Faithful does not mean 100% obedient. Faithful means full of faith. And who gives you that gift? God Himself. And He finds you faithful now. And yet, you will be even greater still when Christ comes. For He will make you incorruptible, perfect, forever forgiven, forever righteous. Word and sacrament are now the down payment on the holiness for which is to come. And if you have that down payment now, then you will have the complete product later. And God will continue to bless you, to bring you to Himself, to show you who His Christ is, that you may also be His own. This is His good and perfect gift for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.